You want to hear a Prabhupada Lila Smaranam? In 1977, Srila Prabhupada was very ill. He wanted to go to Gita Nagari in America to establish Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma meant that he wanted to establish farm communities that were self-sufficient, where we had cows that supplied milk, and from that milk we got ghee and paneer and dahi and everything, butter. And also to grow our own grains and our own vegetables so that we would be self-sufficient. Because he said that the time will come when there will be great disaster on this planet and people will not know what to do. And they will come by the thousands to our communities to seek shelter. So he wanted to go to establish that. He was quite ill in 77. He reached London, and in London, his condition became more acute. And he had to go to the hospital for an operation. And he came back. He was at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he was lying in his room. And the devotee who was attending to him and taking care of him, his needs, was Abhiram. So Prabhupada was lying on the bed in his room. Abhiram was in the front part of the darshan room, and all of a sudden he heard Srila Prabhupada whispering something. Couldn't understand what he was saying, so he came closer. He's trying to hear what was he saying. And then when he came into the room, Prabhupada was saying, "Drums should not be louder than voice." And he didn't understand, what is he saying? What does it mean, drums should not be louder than voice? Then he was meditating on what it meant, and he heard from underneath, in the temple room, there was a kirtan going on. So he went downstairs, and he told the drummers, Prabhupada just said, drum should not be louder than voice. Because what is most important, the mantra or the tal? Mantra. The mantra is more important. So the rhythm should be carrying the mantra, but not burying it. Without the mridanga, there is no kirtan. It doesn't go anywhere. So the mridanga is like the train, picks up the mantra and takes it on a nice journey. But if all you hear is the drum and not the mantra, then we've lost the point of the kirtan. So that was a very instructive point. So the mantra must always be prominent. I learned kirtan in Bangladesh 30 years ago, and the mridanga players there were very, very expert. A lot of the times they would just do whoop, 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 and then sometimes they'd only play the top part, build it up, and then come in whoop, 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 and then all of a sudden they go boom, just once, and then back soft again. And then only at the very end, Nittagore Haribol, where they have open sound, boom, 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 like that, but not during the kirtan, because mantra is most important. So that's a little lesson. Srila Prabhupada was such a wonderful devotee. He explained that there are four kinds of disciples that are acceptable. Of course, there's 10th class and 100th class disciples that are not acceptable, but four classes of disciple are acceptable. Fourth class disciple is if you ask him to do a seva, he may say, well, I've got other seva to do, or I have to finish my rounds, or this or that. But after You ask him two or three times, he says, okay, and he goes and does the seva. Fourth class disciple. Third class disciple, when you ask him to do some seva, immediately and very happily, he runs to do that seva. Second class disciple, he doesn't wait to be asked. He goes and he inquires, is there anything to do? What seva needs to be done? That second class disciple. First class disciple does not wait to be asked, nor does he go to inquire. But he understands the mind of his guru, and he does the needful. He understands what has to be done, and he just does it. He comes into the temple room, sees that it's dirty, he cleans it. Goes into the kitchen, sees the pots aren't clean, cleans it. He just does the needful. Doesn't have to be told, doesn't have to be asked, doesn't have to inquire. This is first-class disciple. So what kind of disciple was Srila Prabhupada? Let us try and analyze. In 1922, Srila Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had a friend, Narendranath Malik. And one evening, Naren came to Abhay Charan. His name was Abhay, our Prabhupada. And he said, oh, I've just seen wonderful sannyasi. He's so wonderful. He's speaking so nicely. You please come with me and you meet him. And Prabhupada said, I've seen so many sannyasis. When I was a boy, my father used to invite them into the house. They would come just to take some chapatis. I've seen them all. And they're not impressive. No, he said. This one is different. Please, you come. And he said, Naren, I do not have the time to come. But Naren begged him, no, please, you must come. So he said, okay. At that time, both of them were college graduates, and they were both part of Gandhi's movement, which was home rule, free India. They both wore khadi. As a protest, they did not accept their degree when they graduated. And they only wore khadi. They didn't buy anything that was milled from England. So they went to Altadanga Road, number one Altadanga Road, which was the Gaudiya Math. It was a hot summer evening, and Darshan was on the roof. So they came up on the roof, and Bhaktisiddhanta was sitting there at one end, full of guests, and he was speaking. As soon as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw them, he instantly knew exactly what their consciousness was, what their mood was. He knew everything about them. He could see that they were educated, which meant British educated, college graduates. They were wearing khadi, so they were part of Gandhi's movement. So he knew everything. They came down, took their seat, offered pranam, and he could see by their manner they were very cultured. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stopped his class for a moment and he addressed the audience and says, here are two wonderful young men. And then he said to them, he looked Prabhupada right in the eye and he said, you are educated young men. You should take up the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread it to the English-speaking world. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So he requested like that. So Prabhupada spoke up amongst the two, between him and Naren. Prabhupada spoke up. He said, who will listen to us? Who will hear our message? Because as long as we are dependent, as long as we are under the British rule, we're not independent. No one will pay any attention. First, let us get our independence, and then people will take notice and listen. But Bhaktisiddhanta did not accept that argument. He says, no, the message is too important. It cannot wait. It is not dependent on a political situation. It's not dependent on any situation. It is the most pressing need for humanity. And he gave so many arguments. And later on, when Prabhupada was telling us this story, he said, I was very happy to be defeated by my Guru Maharaj. That was in 1922. Now he was a young man. He just got married. Now in 1926, he already had a child. And he was working with a chemical company. I think it was Bosch Chemical Company. 1926, he left that and he went to start his own business in Allahabad, Day's Pharmacy. This was in 1926. So he was doing that for some years, and he had bought all of the books that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had published, as well as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was reading them and studying them. Then in the early 1930s, one day, some sannyasis walked into his pharmacy. Tirtha Maharaj was the leader of them, and he said, we have heard your name. You have been recommended to us. We want to start one Gaudiya Math here in Allahabad. Can you help us? So Prabhupada helped them, and they got the land, they built the temple and everything. Now, then he would go. This is now, we're at 1933, temple's finished. And every evening after work, Prabhupada would go, he'd close the shop, and he'd go to the Gaudiya Math for the Sandhya Aarti. And he would play mridanga, because he was the best mridanga player. When he was a boy, his mother said, we should send him to England so he can become a barrister. Then he will have good livelihood. Father said, no, we don't want like that. We will teach him mridanga. And he would bring in mridanga teachers and teach the young boy mridanga. When Prabhupada was telling us this story, he said, he was playing mridanga and he stopped and he said, my father always wanted me to be like this, playing mridanga. Mother said, go to England to become barrister. But father said, no, no. He will become servant of Radharani. He needs to play for the kirtan. So he would go and he would play mridanga for the Sandhya Aarti. And then after the Aarti, someone just has to make a 100-rupee donation to the deities. So after the Aarti, they would have bhajan. So Prabhupada would play harmonium and sing because he was the best singer and the best harmonium player. So practically every evening he was doing the kirtan all the time. Now there was one student there from Allahabad University. He was a PhD student. His name was OBL Kapoor. He later got his PhD and he became Dr. OBL Kapoor. And he had become attracted to the Gaudiya Math and the mission and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had gone to Calcutta and he had taken initiation, diksha, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So now he was Adi Keshav Das. And Prabhupada became very friendly with Adi Keshav Das. I interviewed him, Dr. OBL Kapoor, a few years before he left his body. That was some time back. I think I interviewed him in 1995 and a few years after he left his body. So I was asking him, what are your memories? So he was telling me this memory. He said he was very kind to me, probably because I was the only non-Bengali there. Everybody was Bengali, but he was a UPwala. So he said that acquaintanceship turned into friendship, and friendship turned into brotherhood. And frequently, Adi Keshav Das, Dr. OBL Kapoor, would come to visit Prabhupada at his Day's Pharmacy. And they would discuss Krishna Katha, and he would ask questions. And Prabhupada would engage him in wonderful katha and give wonderful answers. And he was very impressed. He was a PhD in comparative religion, so he was studying all the different religions, not just Vedic Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, but also all the others. So he was expert also, but he would ask questions to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was just full of jnan, Brahma Vidya, Atma Tattva, Atma Divya Jnan. So One day, when he came, Prabhupada said, I have just made one tonic. And he had a vial. And he said, here, you take this tonic. This will be good for your health. So Dr. Kapoor, he took that vial and he said, thank you very much. I will take it as your instruction. But why are you not giving me the tonic that you are taking? So Prabhupada looked at him and he said, what tonic is that? He said, oh, you know, it's the tonic of Krishna Prema. So Prabhupada laughed. He said, I do not have that tonic, but I do know the recipe. So Dr. Kapoor said, well, if it's not a secret, perhaps you can enlighten me and tell me what is that recipe. So Prabhupada said, yes, the recipe for Krishna Prema is Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnara Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, and I shall spread it the whole world over. He said, I shall spread it the whole world over. Now, Dr. Kapoor, when he was telling me this, he said, when he said that, I was thinking that he was just making some casual pronouncement. But now, when I look back, I can see what he has accomplished. I can see that even then, he had it in his mind. He was formulating a plan to do it even then. This was in 1933, even before he actually took Diksha. Shortly after that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to the Math, and the devotees there recommended Prabhupada for initiation, and they were telling Bhaktisiddhanta about him. So at that time, he gave him first and second initiation at the same time. He said, "What your name is?" He said, Abhay Charan. Abhay Charan is already perfect name. So I'll just add Aravinda, lotus, one who takes shelter at the lotus feet. Abhay Charan, fearless at the lotus feet. So if we analyze, we were talking about first class, second class disciples like this. So when Prabhupada explained like that, I shall spread it the whole world over, he already had made up his mind. He had accepted that instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had given in 1922. You are young, educated boys. Why don't you spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English-speaking world? Now, he was not initiated. 1922, that was when he first met his guru. He took initiation in 1933. So for 11 years, what was his situation? Was he a disciple or not? Let me hear. People are shaking and nodding their heads. Everyone's bobbing around. Yes or no? Yes. Yes, he was. Why? He had not received Diksha. Why he was a disciple? Because he accepted the guru within his heart, and accepted it. Accepting guru means accepting instruction of guru. Now, when Prabhupada told us that story, of course, he told it many times, but when in Los Angeles, when he told us, when I was there, he said, my Guru Maharaj ordered me. This was very nice. 1975, Prabhupada was coming to Los Angeles. He hadn't been there for a year. And the devotees had fixed up the new temple room. And they had put in marble, and it was beautiful. And Prabhupada came for the first time to see it. And everyone was very excited, and they wanted to make a wonderful presentation for Prabhupada. And so the Vaikuntha players, they had rehearsed one drama from the Bhagavatam, that Pandavas retire timely. So in Los Angeles temple, the deities are here, Prabhupada's Vyasa-san is over here, and they put a little stage over there on that side. And then after the Sandhya Arati, instead of class, they had this drama. So the drama began, and it was very, very wonderful. If you've read in Bhagavatam, the Pandavas retire timely, that chapter. So they are trying to avert the war, Kurukshetra. So finally, the Pandavas come to Duryodhan and they say, look, we don't have to fight and kill everybody, but we are Kshatriyas. Just give us 5 villages that we can govern and then you can have the rest. And Duryodhan said, I will not even give you so much land as you can put under the head of a pin. My godbrother Madhava, he played Duryodhan, and he said it with such force. And immediately everybody turned to look at Prabhupada to see what was his reaction. During the play, whenever there were some dramatic moments, everyone would turn to look at Prabhupada. Then after the end, Prabhupada spoke, and he commented that this was the way to preach, to convince people of our deep philosophy and dharma was through cultural presentations. He loved it very much. Then he said, now I will give the Oscar. And he gave the Oscar to Lokamangala Das, who played Yudhisthira. So Prabhupada gave the Oscar, the Academy Award. Then he said, I am an old man. And what can an old man do? But my Guru Maharaj ordered me to go to the Western countries to preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now he has so kindly sent all of you to help me. And because what can an old man do? So he has sent you to help me. And now I'm very happy to say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, I can now give it to your hands, and it is now in the right hands. He said, I'm giving the mission to your hands. It's the right hands. And all of us were, you know, a lot of us were looking at one another because we'd only been in the movement 2 or 3 years. And it was in the right hands. But Prabhupada had that faith. Now we have to live up to that faith. We can't have Prabhupada's words be false, that he did not give it to the right hands. But he gave it to the right hands so that we are entrusted to carry on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the benefit of the whole world. And so we have so many programs, but these cultural programs of kirtan and drama and prasad distribution are very, very, very important to attract the minds and hearts of the people. But a point I want to make, he said, my Guru Maharaj ordered me to preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if we analyze that, Guru Maharaj did not order. He only made a suggestion. Why don't you? You're educated boys. Why don't you take this up? Prabhupada heard that and he accepted that instruction, that suggestion. It wasn't even an instruction. It was just a suggestion. He accepted it as his life and soul. Many times he would say like that. So this is first-class disciple. Understands the mind of the guru and accepts it as his life and soul. Srila Prabhupada was first-class disciple, and that's why he is first-class Paramahansa Guru. Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And now he is passing it on to us, and this is called the Parampara system. Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Vidhu. Rajarshi, Rajarishis. So these were the great rulers, great kings, who were also rishis. They also had Divya Gyan. They were also bhaktas. They were also dedicated to the mission of seva. Some more money for Radha Gopinath. It's good. We'll be able to get a new outfit very soon. Who's collecting all this money? We have to have someone collect 100 rupees for every cell phone that goes off. So we can see there's one other pastime so many pastimes, but this other pastime shows how dedicated Prabhupada was to the mission of his Guru Maharaj. In London in 1970, I think it was. Yeah, 1970. Prabhupada had come. It was winter. So it was cold. And in the winter season, it rains. It drizzles. It doesn't even rain. It just drizzles. It's all gray and drizzly all day. And then at night, it gets cold. And that water freezes. So in the morning, you wake up and there's ice. So in the morning, Prabhupada would always go for a morning walk. You know why Prabhupada always went for a morning walk? Anybody ever told you? No? Okay, I'll tell you. In 1967, after Prabhupada had two centers, three actually. One in New York he had founded. Then he went to San Francisco. And then one devotee who was in New York was from Canada. So he went up to Montreal and he started a center there. So there was three centers in 1967. But after the Ratha Yatra in 1967 in San Francisco, Prabhupada wasn't feeling so good. So then he went to New York to try and recuperate. But his health was failing. So they took him to see a doctor. First they took him to a house on the seaside to get some fresh air and some sunshine. And they had this doctor come. And the doctor came to see Prabhupada, and he recommended, he said, in order to keep your good health, you should get up every morning early and exercise, go for a walk. So that was one of the things that he was told. So thereafter, from that instruction by the doctor, every single day, Prabhupada would get up and at 6 o'clock he would go for a morning walk without fail. If he was flying from London to Australia and he landed in Australia at 5 o'clock in the morning, then at 6 o'clock he would go for his morning walk. He was regulated. He did not miss once. Prabhupada... My godbrother Shrutakirti told me that one time Prabhupada said to him, only three things are keeping me alive. One, my morning walk. Two, the massage you're giving me every day. Every day Prabhupada would have massage. From neck down, mustard oil. And from neck up, coconut oil. And then after the massage, Prabhupada would take bath and then put chandan on his forehead to keep a cool head and mustard oil to keep the body warm. Every day he would do that. So three things is keeping me alive. My morning walk, my massage, and Ayurvedic medicine. Every second day he would take Ayurvedic medicine. Those three things are keeping him alive. So now Prabhupada is... back in London, it's winter, and he's getting up for his morning walk, so he has a heavy coat on, big hat, and he's walking through the park. And as he's walking along the path, he comes to where there had been previously a puddle of water, but now is frozen and is ice. So he stops with his cane, he smashes that ice. Then he's walking again. And talking and this. Then they come to another puddle, another patch of ice. Prabhupada stops again, smashes it. And as he's walking, every time he comes and sees some ice, he stops and he breaks it with his cane. So then, after some time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who at that time was Grihastha, he said, Srila Prabhupada, we notice that every time you see ice, you stop and you're smashing it with your cane. Is there a lesson to be learned from this? So Prabhupada said, yes. And then this is the lesson that Prabhupada explained. He said, the natural constitutional position of water is to be soft and warm. He said, just like our heart. The natural constitutional position of our heart is to be soft and warm. But under the influence of Maya, the heart becomes hard and cold like ice. So whenever I see the influence of Maya, I smash it with my cane. So Prabhupada, he was the Senapati Bhakta. He was always fighting against Maya. One time, in a darshan, in his room, he said, if the American government only knew what my real plan was, they would not allow me to come to this country. My plan is completely destroy materialistic civilization. So he was first class disciple. So he gave the recipe for Krishna Prema. You remember what it is? Okay, so let us try and understand the deep meaning of this shloka by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi sunichena. We must become more humble than trina. You know what is trina? It is actually, it is grass that has been cut. What is that word? Straw. Yeah, you see straw in the street? Yeah? It's been cut. Previously was grass, became very long, and they cut it and became straw. Trina means cut grass. And Prabhupada explained that when you walk on the grass, it comes back up after you pass. But the straw on the street, you walk on it, stays down, never comes back up. That is more humble than grass, is the cut grass, the straw, trina. When Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who at that, when they first came to take diksha from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had been writing letters to him. They had heard about him. There's this great saint traveling throughout Bengal, preaching the message of Gita and Bhagavat. So they had written to him. And they said that we are the most fallen. They were actually sincere. They weren't just saying we're the most fallen. Even our names have become Davirkash and Shakar Malik, and we are serving the Mohammedans, the occupiers of ruling India, who are against, who are killing the cows. They're against Brahminical culture and cow protection, and we are serving them. Of course, they were forced to do that. They were so learned and they're so well known that the Nawab had invited them to come and become ministers. They had refused. Then he said, well, you have two choices. You become minister, otherwise we take all your family members and kill them. So they had no choice. So they had to become ministers. So they wrote to him and explained their situation. We can't tolerate this service. We want to come immediately, give it up and come to you. Sri Chaitanya said, no. You just stay where you are, do what you're doing. I will come subsequently. He said, you perform your service just like a woman who has a paramour. Now, married lady has a paramour. She's married, but her heart is not for the husband. Her heart is for the other man. That's called paramour. So she does her household duties so nicely that the husband will not suspect that she's always thinking of the other man. So in his letter he said, so you be like that. You serve the Nawab, but in your heart you're thinking of Krishna day and night. And I will come to where you are and deliver you in due course of time. So subsequently he came up there. And they came to see him that evening. And they had trina in their mouth, that straw. And they came and they said to him, please give us your mercy because we are, you know, not only are we fallen, but we are helping those who are trying to destroy Brahminical culture and Vedic Dharma. So that's trina, straw. Trinadapi sunichaya taror iva sahishnuna. One must become more tolerant than the tree. The tree is so tolerant that no matter what kind of weather, if it's very, very hot or very cold. If it's raining, if there's lightning and thunder, tree tolerates, never objects. In fact, when you go to cut down the tree, even the handle of that axe is made of wood, is given by the tree. So Mahaprabhu is saying we must become more tolerant than the tree. There is one pastime. Srila Prabhupada had been trying to go many years to South Africa. He'd been invited to come, but the government would never give visa because of apartheid, because Prabhupada was colored. Apartheid means only white, we accept. But after trying for many, many years, finally he got a one-week visa, and he was flying to South Africa for the first time. And there were American devotees and some local devotees who were in South Africa preaching. So the American devotee, his name was Pushta Krishna, and he was taking sannyas, Pushta Krishna Swami. So Prabhupada first visited Mauritius, and then Kenya, Nairobi, and then he went to South Africa, Johannesburg. So on the plane, so Pushta Krishna went to meet Prabhupada so they could come together, so he could bring him to South Africa. So on the plane from Nairobi to South Africa, the South African football team got on the plane. They had just had one match with Kenya, and now they were going home. So in those days, in the plane, they had different compartments, non-smoking compartment and smoking. Now it's only non-smoking, but those days they had smoking compartment and non-smoking. So Prabhupada and Pushta Krishna Swami were sitting in non-smoking. But some of the football players were also sitting in non-smoking. But after the plane started to take off, they started to light up cigarettes. So Pushta Krishna Swami, he was very upset. So immediately he pushed the button for the air hostess. She came and he said, "This is not a non-smoking compartment. And they're smoking." She said, "Yes, you're right." So she asked them to extinguish their cigarettes. So they did. But then they came with the trolley and they were handing out their drinks. Everyone was taking drinks. And these football players, they were drinking too much. So after some time, they were getting a little bit tipsy, and now they were again lighting up the cigarettes. So Pushta Krishna Swami, he was now very upset. And he thought, "I'm going to have to get really heavy with these players, with these footballers." So he got up, and he was going to go say something. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, where are you going?" So he said, "Well, they're smoking, Srila Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "Sit down." Then he looked him right in the eye and he said, "What is the difference between us and them if we cannot tolerate? What is the difference between us and them if we cannot tolerate? There's no difference. Therefore, tarori vasuhishnana, Vaishnava must be tolerant. We tolerate. We don't get upset. We be like the tree. Understand? Tarori vasuhishnana." Then Mahaprabhu says, "Amanina manadena." So in the first two lines of this shloka, he is telling us the two qualities that we must acquire. What are those two qualities? Humility and tolerance. In the third line, he tells you how to become, how to get humility and tolerance. Amanina. Amanina means I don't desire any honor or respect. That means if someone insults you, you don't get upset. If you're doing wonderful service and no one says anything, no one recognizes you, no one appreciates you, you don't get upset. Why? Because you don't expect to be glorified or to be honored. If you don't expect it, then you're not disappointed if you don't get it. So amanina, whatever our situation is, we are tolerant. We don't expect any honor. We don't get upset if we don't get it. If someone insults us, we don't also get upset either. So this is how we develop tolerance. But amanina. Manadena. Manadena is how we develop humility. What is that? Manadena means to give all respect to others. I give all respect to every other living entity. What to speak of every other Vaishnava, every other living entity, I give all respect to them. And by doing that, I develop genuine humility. Amanina is how you develop tolerance. Some more Lakshmi. And manadena is how you develop humility. Now, when you develop humility and tolerance, then what happens? Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari means that you are always conscious of Krishna 24 hours a day. Kirtan means to glorify Krishna. Whether you're singing or speaking, doesn't matter, it's all kirtan. Who is one of the greatest kirtaniyas in our line? Narottam Das Thakur. Who is even greater than him? Haridas Thakur, yes. Bhaktivedanta, all of these are true. But the original most famous one is Shukadev Goswami, no? 24 hours a day, just speaking Krishna Katha. So this is Kirtaniya Sadahari, Haridas Thakur also. Haridas Thakur, though, he became converted. So previously, he was not doing Krishna Katha. He was Muslim. Then he took Diksha, and he was chanting. And I'll speak about that a little later. But Shukadev Goswami, the moment he was born, he was Krishna Katha. Even in the womb, he was hearing Krishna Katha. So Shukadev Goswami is number one kirtaniya. So that's why we're all following in his footsteps. That's why we study Bhagavat, the Amal Purana, the spotless Purana. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the recipe to develop Krishna Prema. Trinadapi Sinichena Tarori Vastavishnara. And how we get that? Amanina and Manadena. Then there will be Kirtaniya Sadahari. You understand this point? One person said yes. So for the rest of you, I'll speak it again. Or you don't have any energy to say yes. Maybe we haven't given you enough prasad. Now, there's one other way to develop these qualities. But you always have to have amanina manadena also. But that is the slow way. Now, you know the fast track. Now I will tell you the fast way to develop those two qualities so that there'll be kirtaniya sadahari. Are you ready to hear them? There are 10 offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name. As soon as we stop those offenses, immediately we become pure devotee. Now, is it a difficult thing to stop those offenses? What is your opinion? Ah, it's not so easy, right? So let me tell you the secret, how to do it easily. It's two things you have to do. The first thing is we have to go to the 10th offense and solve that problem. Because when you solve the problem of the 10th offense, all the other 9 disappear. What is that 10th offense? To be inattentive while chanting, even after understanding so many instructions on the matter, right? Now, when you're inattentive while chanting, what are we thinking about? To be inattentive when chanting and maintaining material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So inattentive means that I'm now changing my focus of consciousness from hearing Harinam to my focus of consciousness is now on my material attachments. There may be so many material attachments. I may be thinking what I have to do today. I have so many duties I have to do today. If I'm Grihastha, I have to pay my bills. I have to be at the job. I have deadlines. I have to get this done, that done. For Brahmachari, it's a little easier. He never has those worries. He has other worries. We'll deal with those other ones later. So the Grihastha, he's always worried about how I will take care of the family. That's one material attachment that we're thinking of. Also, we're thinking of our own leelas. Instead of Krishna leela, we're thinking of our own leela. We're sometimes thinking what I used to do in the past. Or sometimes we're thinking what I want to do in the present. Or sometimes we're thinking what I will have in the future. My own house, Tata Sumo. Multiple visa to America. Enough money to take my family around the world. So these, my own leelas I'm thinking of, you see, maintaining material attachments. Brahmachari is thinking, should I stay Brahmachari and take sannyas or should I get married? He's trying to chant his japa, then he notices that that Mataji, very nice sari she's wearing today. So everyone, their focus is away from the mantra. Now let's analyze this 10th offense, because I was said earlier that if we solve the problem of the 10th offense, we solve the problems of all the other offenses. So the word to be inattentive while chanting, the Sanskrit word, you know the Sanskrit word?
Yeah.
What? He says, yeah, then there's silence. You cannot bluff me. The Sanskrit word is pramatta. Now, pramatta has different levels of meaning. For you, the meaning is the fourth level. I'll come to that soon. But the first level Prabhupada gave was inattentive. Inattentive. Prabhupada explains what it means, inattentive. It means that I'm not giving my attention to Krishna Nam, but I'm giving attention to my material attachments. So that is the first understanding of pramatta, inattentive. But then Prabhupada goes deeper into the subject. Why we are not attentive, why we're inattentive, is because the second level of pramatta means not interested. We're inattentive chanting the holy name because we're more interested to think about our material desires. We have the choice. But our interest is more to my thoughts on my material life, in this body, in this particular life, rather than Krishna Nam. So that is the second level. We're not interested. Inattentive because not interested. Third level, it means careless. We care less about chanting Krishna's name and we care more for our own material attachments. Fourth level of pramatta means madness. One's gone completely mad. From inattentive to uninterested to couldn't care less to completely mad. Perhaps we've had this experience. We've been somewhere and there's a little sign that says, mind your head. But one time we bump our head. Anybody had that experience? Because we were inattentive. We were careless. So we bumped our head, even though the sign was there. And even though previously we didn't bump the head, this one time we bump. So the problem is, we have to analyze this 10th offense. Why are we inattentive? Because we're not so interested. We're more interested in our desires. We care more for our material fulfillment than for Krishna Nam. This is a disease. This is Prabhupada called it the material disease. And at the point of madness, then we just give up Krishna consciousness altogether. We bloop. When I was writing my book, I interviewed over 500 of my godbrothers. And I remember one devotee, he was very enthusiastic. I asked him, "Why did you leave?" He was very enthusiastic, very helpful. He remembered everything. He wanted to be very helpful. I said, "Why did you leave?" He said, "Well, you know, I came to the movement and I was practicing Krishna consciousness for 6 years, but I didn't experience any of the things that were in the books. I didn't get those experiences that were in the books." He didn't experience Krishna prema, hair standing on the end, palpitations of the heart, experiencing ananda, like that. 6 years. You can say he was not patient. He didn't give it enough of a chance. But this is the problem. We come and we expect to get immediate benefit, and if it's not immediate, then our focus is lost. How many of us remember when we first came to the temple and saw the devotees for the first time, and we were thinking, everybody here is pure devotee. We see everybody giving up their lives for Krishna, doing seva, doing the kirtan, getting up Mangalarti for 4 a.m. We were thinking, they're all pure devotees, is it not? And then we were thinking, I also want to become like that. You remember when we first joined? And we were doing service to everyone. How can I serve you? We were so enthusiastic. You remember this? Then do you remember the day that you got diksha? You were hoping for your name and you got your name. You remember that? How excited you were? And then, you remember up until that time how you were making rapid progress in devotional service? How fast you were making progress? Do you remember that? Then after you got diksha, it sort of leveled off. And it wasn't so quick. Who remembers that? Who has that experience? Everybody. You know why? Who knows why? All of a sudden, our advancement got checked. Aparad? Well, that'll definitely... Well, that aparad means it goes down. But if you're still maintaining, it wasn't too much aparad. Taking for granted, yes. Why we take for granted? Due to? All of those answers are right, but due to pride. Because now that I've got my name, then I want the new bhaktas to serve me. Now I'm Krishna Das, you know, and not, you know, not a bhakta, you know, Bhakta Kalidas or whatever my name was. Then, do you remember when you got Brahman initiation? You got the Gayatri Mantra. Who remembers that? Then we were thinking, hey, I'm a Brahman, Prabhu. You should be serving me. I should be getting prasad first. You see? So then we've lost that service attitude. That's why our devotional service became checked. Because we lost the platform of Das, 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 Anudas. We wanted to become the Prabhu. That was the problem. Now, this was due to carelessness and being inattentive to the real meaning of the 10th offense. So now let's solve the problem. 10th offense, we want to just hear the mantra. That means, if I hear the mantra, what happens? Chetu darpanam arjanam. Mahadavagni nirvapanam. When I'm hearing, when the mind is peaceful, the sound vibration enters into the heart and purifies the heart. When the heart becomes purified, all the anartas are gone. We read in the Bhagavatam how this devotee became pure devotee in 1 week. He in 2 weeks. Another one in 6 months. Maharaj Katvanga in 1 day. You see? Dhruva Maharaj, He was given mantra by Narada Muni, and in 6 months, he had darshan of Sri Vishnu. Now, if we chant our mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, hearing Shravanam, in 6 months, we can have also darshan of Sri Vishnu or Sri Radha Gopinath. They will come to us. When Lord Chaitanya walked into the Jagannath temple, he did not see wood. He saw Shyam Sundar playing his flute. And Jagannath, when he looked at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't see a sannyasi. He saw Radharani. So they both looked at each other and recognized each other. Mahaprabhu, he saw Shyam Sundar playing his flute and he fainted in ecstasy. And Jagannath saw Radharani and he fainted in ecstasy. But only Mahaprabhu could see it. So this should be our mood. There was one case, one disciple. He came to his guru and asked for diksha. Guru gave him the mantra. He took that mantra. He said, now I'll go to my residence and I'll chant. The next morning, 4 o'clock, knock on the door. The guru had just got up. He was just doing his morning oblations, knocking on the door. Like this. Who's this? Some madman? Opens it up. And there's his disciple with his hair all scattered, his dress full of dust and dirt. He says, Guru Maharaj, what kind of mantra have you given me? He was surprised. But this is the Vedic mantra from the Kali Santara Upanishad. This is the mantra in this age. Why do you ask? Because when I left and I went to my residence, I sat down and I closed my eyes and I chanted that mantra with full concentration. And as I chanted more and more, the hairs on my body began to stand on edge. And I felt shivering in the body. Perspiration was coming. My heart started palpitating. I began to lose consciousness. I tried to sit up and keep on chanting, but I couldn't. I kept falling over. I felt like I was going mad. I was experiencing waves of ananda ecstasy coming all over me. I thought, am I going mad? What's happening? But I kept on chanting that mantra because you had given it to me. And now I'm come to you. Have I gone crazy? Have I lost my mind? What has happened? Did I do something wrong? You know who that disciple was? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The guru was Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri said, he was shocked. He said, already? You are already experiencing the Asta Sattvic Bhavas? Overnight? It takes lifetimes of chanting with full attention. And overnight you are experiencing that. Because Mahaprabhu had perfect Shravanam. When you have perfect Shravanam, you have perfect Kirtanam. If you have imperfect Shravanam, can you have perfect Kirtanam? No. Is our Shravanam perfect? No. So what is our job number one is to perfect the Shravanam. Is it not? This is what we have to do when we're chanting Maha Mantra. So the first thing I do is I make a promise to myself. This is my promise. I don't say vow because vow is very heavy. And if you break the vow, you may become discouraged. So you just make a promise. And I will try my level best to keep this promise. And what is that promise? I will never chant Maha Mantra and think at the same time. I will never chant and think at the same time. In the early days in San Francisco, I already touched upon it in 1967 when Prabhupada was there. Of course, then he was called Swamiji. So one of his early disciples is now GBC. Her name is Malati. So I also interviewed her for my book. So Malati, when she was given the mantra, She asked Srila Prabhupada, she said, what should I think of when I chant? Should I try and think of Krishna, his pastimes? Or what should I do? Prabhupada said, there is no question of thinking. The tongue vibrates the sound and the ear hears, and that's it. The tongue vibrates the sound and the ear hears that sound. There is no thinking. Sisi Radha Gopinath Ki. So therefore, we really have to focus on this chanting by hearing properly. So then the Chaito Dharpana Marjanam will take place in the heart. The heart will become purified. And then when the heart is purified, you will not criticize the Vaishnavas who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. You will not have interest in any other name except the name of Krishna. You will not disobey the orders of your spiritual master. You will not perform sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. You won't do those things because by hearing properly, solving the problem of the 10th offense, you become purified. All the anarthas leave and all the offenses leave also, and you become situated as pure devotee. So I can give you tips and advice how to do this, but we're running out of time. So why don't I do that tomorrow in the class? So what is now? You have now another kirtan. Okay.